God's word for us today comes from the 11th chapter of Romans, beginning at verse 1. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. For I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people, whom he foreknew. Now I am speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order, somehow, to make my fellow Jews jealous, and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? This is God's word. You ever notice how some art museums post guards near the paintings? If they don't post a guard, they put a red velvet rope in place to prevent people from coming too close to the artwork. The curators have told the patrons, in effect, you can come this close and no closer. If you were to reach out your hand to point to a detail, a guard may correct you and ask you to step back. Art has a way of pulling us in. We find ourselves drawing closer and closer to the painting, examining small details of things that are there. The only problem with this way of viewing art is that sometimes you can be so close to the painting that you lose sight of what it's really about. Being immersed in the details sometimes prevents you from seeing the larger picture. Something like that can happen in reading this chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans. You can be drawn in by the strangeness of Paul's words. He's discussing the status of Israel in God's plan of salvation. And at some point, we hear Paul talk about the hardening of Israel. He voices claims that God has rejected his people, hardened their hearts. And at other points, Paul speaks of the salvation of Israel, their election, being beloved for the sake of their forefathers. When read up close and out of context, these words can be pretty confusing. They've led some to argue that Paul here lays the foundation for anti-Jewish sentiment in the Christian church. Since God has rejected Israel and chosen the Gentile nations, the church should live the same way. And after the Jews were expelled from Rome, the Gentile church survived and now would have very little reason to welcome back their brothers and sisters in the faith. That's what some people say. Others have used these verses to argue for a future day when God will restore the Jewish people and to fight for that restoration as a prelude to the return of Christ. And this concern for Israel gets expressed in political action and becomes a way in which the church can hasten the day when Jesus returns. Has God rejected Israel or not? Will God save Israel or not? These are questions that naturally arise from this passage, and even more troubling, however, is the picture that these verses could potentially give of God. A person could hear this and say, well, seems like he's unfaithful or he can't make up his mind. One time calling a people to be his own, then rejecting them only to call another. Can God be trusted when it comes to making his promises? When he claims people any people, Gentile or Jew. Paul is aware of how confusing this is and what it looks like when you're up real close. So he tries to be as clear as he possibly can about the points that he makes. First, Paul wants all to know God remains faithful to his promises. God has not rejected Israel, for Paul himself is an Israelite. If God rejected Israel, then Paul would be rejected. Instead, God brought Paul to faith in Jesus Christ and uses him to reach out to Gentile nations. And in doing this, God is remaining faithful to his plan. From one nation, Israel, God promised a Savior for all nations. And now Paul, a Jew, believes Jesus is this Messiah and reaches out to Gentile nations with this good news from God. Does this mission to the Gentile nations mean that the church should forget about Israel? No way. Not at all. And that's Paul's second point. The church is part of God's mission to his chosen people. Paul uses himself, again, as an example. His ministry to the Gentiles is a ministry that seeks to lead Israel back to God's grace. And this is right where Paul asks us to take a step back from the art piece and to see the bigger picture, to see the mural that's actually in front of us. Paul sees himself and his ministry as part of the larger working of God. God has a greater story for this world. It's a story of peace found in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for salvation from sin. All have been disobedient. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Scripture says. And yet, God is faithful to His promise to have mercy on all. All are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. When you come near to Jesus, when you are brought to faith by the power of God in His Word, you are then sent near to those who are in need of Jesus, Jews and Gentiles, neighbors and family, as God continues to work out His story of bringing salvation to the ends of the earth, even to Northeast Ohio. God's Word brings people to life. People like the Apostle Paul, who were dead set against the Word of the Gospel. And people like you and me. And God's Word then reaches out to others through the lives of His people. Each person becomes one more revelation in the flesh of God's mission of mercy to the world. Over these past months since March, I have seen it time and time again. God's Word bringing people to life. God's Word bringing comfort and hope. God's Word giving us words to say when there aren't any other words to be said. with God's Word on our minds and in our hearts, we always have something to talk about and to share. What conversation is God calling you to have with someone else? What strange and difficult speech is God calling you to give? It may be bold, and it may be quiet. It may be large, like a lifelong conversation with a family member. Or it may be small, like a brief conversation with a stranger in the grocery store. But all of it is God's Word at work through His people for the world. Paul reminds us today that we are people who live by words, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. And so I say these words to you. God is here today for you, forgiving you your sin, granting you new life. And God is here today for others, seeking to bring them to the faith. He will not stop. He will not be silent. He will work through you, through moments with individual people to fulfill His mission of bringing all nations into one body, the church, the new Israel, in Christ. Let's pray. Blessed Jesus, at your word we are gathered all to hear you. Let our hearts and souls be stirred now to seek and love and fear you. By your teachings, sweet and holy, drawn from earth to love you solely. Amen.